Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
It is Bills Football Monday. I am in such a good mood that I don't mind having Paul Hamilton, who is probably going to say something about the Yankees clinching a division title, in which case we'll cut him off. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. Bills Football Monday. We're breaking down everything from yesterday's game with the Bills and the Bengals. And Paul is going to join us on our West Her Hotline. And Paul's segment with us is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. Happy Monday.
Good morning. Yeah, the Brewers, I figure, were finished. You remember that's where I went
to
the sports
book. Oh, that's right. You went to Miller Park.
And what are they, 7-2 since Yelich went down?
Thanks for pointing that out.
They're a game behind the Nationals. I didn't even think they had a prayer catching the Nationals, and they're in the second wild card right now.
Yeah, they're taking one of the spots my Mets should have had. But that's okay. We'll let it go.
Well, if they can catch the Nationals, then the Mets can take the second one.
That's true. It's a pipe dream, Paul. But thanks for humoring me this morning. You know, it's funny. I mean, every week, you know, we talk about so many different things, breaking down the game. But let's face it, everybody always wants to know and talk about Josh Allen's day. It was a weird day yesterday, Paul, because there were times as a fan you might have been uttering some expletives at some of Josh Allen's decision-making. And yet, at the end of the day, you know, he is there and guides them on the big 78-yard game-winning touchdown drive with under 5 minutes to go, which is what you want your quarterback to do. Pull out wins in the fourth quarter when you are trailing, and he did that.
Well, that's important. As poorly as it started going for him once he threw the bad interception, and that was the first time the Bengals were even in Buffalo territory.
Right. They didn't get there at all in the entire first half. Other than the, I think the last play after the missed field goal, they drive started in Buffalo territory.
Right, so you're at the 22-yard line, and now you've given the Bengals hope, and then the defense, all of a sudden, everybody's running wide open underneath, and they just march right down the field, and that was even happening in the end of the game, where it looked like maybe the Bengals were going to go down and be able to score the touchdown. But a funny thing about this Buffalo Bills team compared to others, when they had to have a play made, the play was made.
Yeah.
First offensively, you know, things did all of a sudden were going great, but they're great by moving the football, but they weren't finishing drives, which is something I think they need to get better at. But they got the lead, and then when they had to get down the field after things just were not going well for the offense at all, they got down. They're a 49-yard pass to a tight end, no less, and you know, he's knocking people downfield. They can't even tackle him once he gets the ball. And they finish the drive and get in. And then, all right, now the Bengals get the ball as they're now trying to get the game-winning drive for themselves. And they're just moving right down the field. Receivers are running wide open. But then somebody had to make a play, and they did. You know, Poyer gets the hand in on the throw by Dalton, and it's intercepted, and you're able to seal the victory. And that's, you know, where I think they've improved is, you know, all right, well, forget about what momentum we've given away here and how things have been going. A play needs to be made, and somebody in the first three games has been able to come up and make a play. Even the Giant game, the Giants got within 7.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the Bills went and marched down, and the offense got the ball into the end zone, and they got back up by 2 touchdowns again. So it's interesting. If I think about the Patriot game, and I think about the one Bills team that I think would give the Patriots all they could handle, and then I think of the other Bills team that makes the mistakes and gets carried away, and then I thought, well, if that Bills team is there, it's going to be another long afternoon. You know, which Bills team is going to be there? Because Jeremy had a stat the other day. What was it? Brady has more interceptions and touchdown passes in the last three or four games against the Bills.
Yeah. In McDermott's 2 years, he's got three TD passes and four picks.
But yet, the Patriots still win going away.
They're 4-0, right.
Right. So, if you still defensively play well against Brady, but yet have the offense show up efficiently and not make the cross-body throws to the middle of the field. And there was another one downfield where he had Foster running downfield. He threw it into double coverage. That should have been picked down at the goal line. I mean, that there was no way that was going to be a completed pass. There was only two outcomes that we were going to have there, either intercepted or incomplete. And, you know, that ball never should have been thrown. I mean, you have to see right away that the coverage is there and that's not going to be open. Your receiver's not going to get an opportunity to make a play on that ball. So, you know, I just thought Josh Allen got sloppy as the game went on. But you got to give him credit. You got to give his team credit when plays needed to be made in crunch time. And that, when was the last time we could say that?
Well, there's something to be said for, you know, the nice thing is, look, they're 3-0. At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. The nice thing is they have yet to play your quote-unquote full game. I mean, they've really had, in all three wins, you know, the offense has turned the ball over all over the place in the first half against the Jets. They get cold in the second half against the Giants. And yesterday they blow the lead and they come back and win. So they've yet to play anything close to the full 60-minute game, and yet they're 3-0. And I think, Paul, the nice thing is you have what we knew going in. You have a defense that is good enough to allow the offense to have some bumps and still be able to keep the team in the game and still put the Bills in position to win as they did yesterday, even though the offense was its own worst enemy at times. So really the key question is, how quickly can the offense grow? How much better can they get? And how can they turn, you know, have less turnovers, have less penalties, have less drops, get into the red zone and convert more often like, you know, they did in the opener? And that's the big question about this offense. And I get it, right, with New England, there's very little margin for error. The defense plays well against them, Paul, but they are 0-4 against the Patriots. Why? Because the offense isn't good enough to put up points on the board against New England.
Yeah, let's face it. I mean, through it all, Josh Allen is a better quarterback this year than he is last year.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, he's just got to get some of the poor decisions out of his head that, you know, he's a bit of a gunslinger. And it's like, I'm going for this. And I think I can fit this in there, even though I'm throwing across my body because I got a cannon for an arm.
Right.
And sometimes he does. Sometimes he gets away with it and he completes the pass. But more times than not, you know, something bad comes out of it than good. And the other thing is, too, people will look at the competition. Yeah, they're 3-0, but look who they played. Again, let's go examine the last 18 years. They would play bad competition and not always win. You know, they wouldn't win. They wouldn't be 3-0. They'd be playing these teams and be 1-2 or 2-1 at best. You know, but, you know, you still got to, even though you're playing a poor football team, you still got to go out and get the win.
Right.
And in past years, they wouldn't go out and get the win. So, I mean, look at it this way. Instead of being miserable about, well, they've beaten three bad teams, they went out and took care of business.
Yep.
You know, and that's, again, something they hadn't done in a long, long time.
And you know you have to get better, clearly, especially when you have your easily the best and maybe the biggest best test of the entire season coming up with New England. They know, and that's why, you know, McDermott was right yesterday, Paul. I mean, on the one hand, they're celebrating the win. You know, we played a clip of his speech in the locker room earlier, and he's talking about heart and love these guys and all that, which is great. But he also made sure they know, I'm sure when they go in and look at film today, there's a lot of stuff they need to correct. There's a lot of stuff they need to get better. And I don't, you know, I think they'll understand 3-0, but there's definitely room for improvement. Nobody's going to be throwing their chest out today and saying, we're the mighty Bills. Hey, they're 3-0, but, you know, they got to get a lot better.
Yeah, and I like the fact that at least this New England game is at home.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 3-0, and you can at least play it in front of your home fans. I think you have a better chance to win it in Buffalo than you do in New England. So, I mean, it's a good test for them to see where they're at right now. And Howard, they've won 8 in a row.
No, yeah, stop that. Now you sound like Mike Shope at the beginning of the postgame show yesterday.
They've won 8 in a row. Come on. They won last year, 4 in preseason.
No.
Mike was sitting. You know, and 3 in a row here. So the last 8 times they have left the field. When was the last time you could say this? No matter we're talking about what preseason or whatever, the last 8 times they have left the field, they have left the field winners.
Yeah, Paul. Mike hit Bulldog with that at the start of the postgame show yesterday. It really threw Bulldog for a little bit of a loop. Like, he was, I think he must have sat there stunned, like, I think he even said, I was not expecting that line of questioning. So, no, I'll
it's true. Yeah. At least you get that winning feeling and you feel good about things. As I said, a 4-0 preseason means pretty much nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Considering an 0-16 team went 4-0 in the preseason. But still, you left the field winners. There are some people who believe it's just getting the winning attitude, you know? You know, I asked Kruger about these preseason games. Is winning the most important thing? He goes, as we get in the third period and the game's close, you can feel it on the bench that the players are talking about, let's win this. It becomes more important. He said, right now, we've got to get things corrected. We've got to get players headed in the right direction in the system that we want. But he said, once you get in that third period and it's a 2-2 game, winning all of a sudden does become important, even though it's preseason, because you want to get that winning feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't put a lot of stock in that. I would think, honestly, if you look at yesterday's game, maybe because they were down against the Jets and came back and won that game, the Bills don't panic because they know, hey, we've been behind in the game before. We can come back and win. And, you know, they get up big against the Giants and they hold on. I think the winning in the regular season will breed success and confidence. I mean, when they're winning some of those games in the second half, some of those guys who are winning those games aren't on the roster right now. So, I don't think about that at all. Paul is with us. We're going to get to calls in a moment. But before I let you go, on your way this Monday, give me I had a couple quick hockey questions for you. So Brayton was sharing with me a comment from Ralph Kruger, who was asked about Victor Olofsson and described him as, quote, permanently dangerous. So what are you seeing from Olofsson? I'm going to hit you with three parts here, Paul. What are you seeing from him? Is he a lock to make the roster? If he is on the roster, is he a top six forward?
He better be a lock to make the roster. I think he's shown enough that they need goals, and this is somebody. And the thing is, too, what people don't talk about is he's a pretty good passer, too. Hmm. You know, he's a pretty gifted passer. He's not. It's not just all he can do is take one-timers from the circle and score goals from there. So I think – I hate to say lock because then people come. If he doesn't make the roster, then you get all the crap.
Oh, but, I'll hold you accountable.
You know, I think he definitely has earned a roster spot. And unless all of a sudden he completely falls apart in this last week of training camp. But considering what they need on this team, he brings what they need. He's been bringing it in the preseason. He brought it in the prospects game. I mean, come on. I don't know what more you need from the kid. And I think, he's earned a spot on the roster.
The other question I wanted to ask about was Marcus Johansson. Trying him at center, is that just your preseason let's try everything thing, or could that be a thing?
Both. I think they wanted to see Johansson get a chance there. I think it goes hand in hand with Casey Mittelstadt has struggled mightily. The game in Toronto, he was a little bit better in the third period, but he just – it is not coming to Casey Mittelstadt at all right now, to a point where I'm thinking for his growth, it might be better to maybe start him in Rochester and let him get some confidence down there. And I don't mean that as a punishment. I think, you know, honing your craft in Rochester is the thing to do. And he's really kind of lost out there right now. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons they put him at center, to give it a look. It went okay, there were things I liked, there were things I didn't, but he hadn't done it in a while, and he hadn't played in a while. I mean, he hadn't played a game since the playoffs last year, so he was just like trying to get his feet wet playing a game. But we are going to see more of it. Kruger did say that after the game, that we are going to see more of it. So I think it pretty much maybe goes hand in hand with, let's see what this guy can do at center, because we're not sure Casey Mittelstadt is somebody that we can count on right now.
Well, that makes me a little nervous. All right, Mr. Hamilton, thanks for coming on with us this morning. Always nice to chat with you, sir.
Hey, always a pleasure.
All right, Paul.
Go Brewers.
All right, it's better than saying go Yankees.
It's a neutral team. You know, it's not the Yankees. It's not the Mets. You know, it's the Brewers. It's a neutral team.
All right, I'll let it go. Have a nice day, Paul.
Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.